tongue switched on. Look at that. It's not maybe the first time today I've been switched on. Because there's a number of things I'll have to correct in the order of service. This is George.
Not Derek.
Not Derek. And George is praying and Alistair's reading. So if you don't know who you are, nobody else knows either. But it's good to be here in worship. And maybe today's service is on exactly the right theme. To fit with muddled individuals. It's all about the Good Shepherd. So, George, would you like to take us through some of the intimations?
I will indeed. Morning, everybody. Yeah, reading the intimations from the sheet. Welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or visitor. Visitors may wish to sign our visitor's book. Coffee morning. Our next coffee morning is on Saturday the 4th of May, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. Enjoy a cup of tea or coffee with home baking. Come and browse the pre-loved items on the bric-a-brac stall too. If you can help in any way, please add your name to the list in the vegetable. Now where on earth can you get a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, a scone and a cake for £3.50? I defy anybody to tell me you can get one at the coffee morning here. So please tell your friends and encourage them to come along. Catch. The next Catch Kids at Church service will be on the 5th of May. If you know any young people who like to come along, please let them know. All are welcome. Stated annual meeting. Not printed in the intimations. The stated annual meeting of the congregation will take place after worship on the 12th of May. Reports from office bearers and activity groups should be sent to the session clerks no later than Wednesday the 1st of May. Other intimations. There are further intimations on the printed sheet. This can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you do not have a copy. Now for those on Zoom, here is a quick look at the order of service. Thank you.
And that reminder of stated annual meeting is also a reminder to me to say to you that next Sunday I am not on holiday because I won't be here. I will be conducting a stated annual meeting, but in Kelty. So I'll be doing that there, and Alistair and various folks, and I'm sure Alistair will actually get the names right in the order of service rather than me getting everything wrong. Let's worship God. Let's sing to God's praise and glory. Hymn 162, The God of Abraham Praise. Let's dedicate our offering. Almighty God, accept our gifts. Bless all that we offer of our time, talent, and money. Use our giving in the work of your church and to your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as I mentioned earlier, George is leading us in prayer this morning.
I'd like to thank the Church of Scotland website for the first prayer. There are several times, as it put in the prayer, hold a time of silence. And what I suggest we can do in these times of silence is just consider the words that have just been spoken in the prayer. That's my suggestion. So this is a prayer of gathering, adoration, and confession. Let us pray. With glad and grateful hearts, we praise you, O God, that you have opened the gates to let us in. And here we are joyful to sit at your feet when your love surrounds us and makes us complete. For a few precious moments we would be still to know that you are God. You, the Holy One, are here. Your glory is shining all around. You are moving in this place. Lord, we praise you. You are great and glorious. You have shown us your love, your mercy towards us in Jesus. Lord, we worship, we adore you in Jesus' name. Forgive us, loving God, that much of the time we are too busy to be aware that you are in the room, overly distracted to notice what you are up to. Our lives are lived less fully as a result. We talk of following Jesus but wander off on other paths. Forgive us, we pray. Purify our hearts, cleanse us from within. Make us holy as we in this moment of silence bring to you our personal confessions. Now send your Spirit, good and generous God, that by daily transformation we might become ever more the people you made us to be. We love you and long to love you more. We serve you but long to serve you more faithfully. Hear us now as we pray your prayer as taught to us by Christ our Lord. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn number 540. I heard the voice of Jesus say. I did forget one intimation I should have made just at the beginning of the service, and that is to say, and I know that most of you will have heard, that very sadly Alan Hunter has passed away. His service will be on the 3rd of May at 1:15 at Dunfermline Crematorium. So that's Alan's service, is 3rd of May at 1:15. And if you forget, just if you ask me at the end of the service. One of the difficulties that we face in setting the scene for the stories that we read in the Bible is that what would have been obvious to someone in first century Galilee is not always obvious to us in 21st century Scotland. We live in a very different time and in a very different culture. That said, the human condition is unchanged. When we read history, when we think about people in our society from all sorts of backgrounds, because we live in a multicultural society now, the human condition is unchanged. The good of which we are capable remains, as does the wrong that we are capable of. But sometimes we need explanation of the illustrations used by biblical writers. Sometimes we need an alternative illustration. Later in the service, we're going to sing from Mission Praise, Such Love. To illustrate the purity of Jesus' love, the first line reads, "Such love, pure as the whitest snow." Now, I remember someone talking about having been a missionary in a very hot part of Africa where there was no mountain, so they had no experience of snow. And of course, we know what even wasteland looks like as it is covered by snow in winter. It's transformed. But if you've never experienced snow, it doesn't make sense. That person had to find another picture that would speak to those folk. We are aware of the rate of change in our society. The technology taken by granted by young people makes the past a very foreign place to them. I don't know how many times I've had a youngster say to me, "Did you not have a mobile phone?" And I'm going, "No." "How did you speak to people?" I said, "Well, we had to go and see them." In fact, when I went to university, I had to write letters to my mum and dad because I don't think they had a phone in the house at that time. And of course, a world without instant communication is almost incomprehensible to people who are younger than I am. In fact, I find it difficult to remember what it was like. Somebody says to me, "You don't happen to know," and I'm going, "I'll just Google it." When we think about the society of which we are part, it's hard to understand that for most of the history of this country, it was something like 90% rural. Now it's 90% urban. For most of the history of this country, talking about Jesus as the Good Shepherd, well, we knew what a shepherd did. Pre-industrial Britain was a very different place to the Britain that we know. What does it mean to talk about Jesus as the Good Shepherd? We probably have a very different picture in our heads. Those who heard Jesus talking would have known exactly what he meant, and it would not have been a romanticized picture. The 23rd Psalm, those very familiar words, are not about a romantic picture of a shepherd. if it was indeed King David who wrote the 23rd Psalm, it is attributed to him, he would have known it, and he would have known exactly what a shepherd was. He'd been a shepherd boy himself. We, perhaps, have a romanticized picture, and that's difficult for us to picture what a shepherd is like. I came across a quotation, and I have a liking for Desmond Tutu, a bishop from Southern Africa who had a wonderful sense of humour, and I can imagine him saying this with a real twinkle in his eyes. He says, in most churches where they have an image of the Good Shepherd, they show Jesus carrying a nice fluffy lamb. Now, fluffy little lambs don't stray from their mothers. The sheep that will stray is the most obstreperous, troublesome one. We maybe have to think about mirrors in that case. As we read the 23rd Psalm, those very familiar words, as we think about Jesus' words about him being the Good Shepherd, these only make sense if we think of who Jesus is in the light of the crucifixion. And if we're going to talk about a shepherd, we have to think about those who are in need of a good shepherd. And we might think about some of those obstreperous, troublesome sheep. And I hate to say, you might have a reasonable example standing in the pulpit as Alistair reads for us this morning.
So let's hear then, first of all, from the Old Testament, from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And then from the New Testament, from the Gospel of John, John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18. Jesus speaking, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. Amen, and may God bless to us this reading from his holy word.
We're going to sing the 23rd Psalm from, I think it'll be a YouTube version. We very often now sing the Townend version, which has become a favourite for a lot of folk. So let's sing "The Lord's My Shepherd."
The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. And I will trust in you. And I will trust in you. For your endless mercy follows me. Your goodness will lead me. Guides my ways in righteousness, and He anoints my head with oil, and my cup it overflows with joy. I feast on His good delights, and
use an awful lot of biblical phrases as sayings in the world today. And when we want to describe a situation where a weak opponent triumphs over the stronger, we very often describe this as a David and Goliath situation. In our ever more secular society, we use these biblical phrases, but without any connection to the faith behind the sayings. There is a tendency to think of David as the weak little man and Goliath as the big strong man. That is very much an earthly impression or an understanding of the world today. In the story, David does not think of himself as weak. His faith is in God. His argument against armor and sword and shield is that he has a greater skill and he is obeying God. He talks of himself as a shepherd. And of course, we think of Goliath with his armor and his spear and all of that kind of thing as a strength that is beyond the measure of David. But David thinks differently, and rightly so. The truth is that the sling was a potent and accurate weapon. David was right to know that he had that skill. But he goes out to face Goliath in the strength of God. When we read the 23rd Psalm, we have a picture of God as the shepherd who leads and protects his flock. The hills were wild and dangerous places. There is no thought that the flock will be untroubled. This is a psalm about faith in God as shepherd, understanding what a shepherd was like and what sheep at that time were like. When Jesus talks about being the good shepherd, he contrasts the shepherd with the hired man. We recognize this as the difference between the one who owns the sheep and the one who is simply hired and paid to look after the sheep. The word owning is not strong enough. In our society, where we own and discard so much, owning is a very weak word. What Jesus is talking about is about being rather than simply doing. In his very being, he is the good shepherd. It's also important to understand that Jesus doesn't just describe himself as a shepherd. A shepherd in the ancient world was used as a symbol. It was a symbol of good leadership. Jesus says that he is the good shepherd. If we were to read John chapter 10, verse 11 in Greek, in the language of the New Testament, it would read, "I am the shepherd, the good." It has a definite article in there which is a point of emphasis. Now, we should not think of good in terms of that sliding scale that you tend to get once you've visited something like the HMRC website, where they ask you to rate their service and it goes from your rubbish to your excellent, and there you find that good is just above average. So you're not saying very much when you say good. So when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd," it's not that he's somewhere aiming for very good and excellent. The word good, kalos in Greek, can be used for quite a number of adjectives in English. When it says there in John's Gospel, "I am the good shepherd," good, the word good means good, right, proper, fitting, better, honourable, honest, fine, beautiful, precious. It has all of those flavours of meaning. Jesus is more than a good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. Jesus is the good, right, proper, fitting, better, honourable, honest, fine, beautiful, precious shepherd. Of course, it's only after Jesus' death and resurrection that the disciples begin to understand something of what Jesus meant when he said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." But even in those days following the resurrection, the disciples have not grasped what Jesus truly is as the good shepherd. Even after they are told that they will be witnesses and take the message of the gospel from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth, their picture is still not big enough. They've still not grasped exactly who Jesus is as the good shepherd. When John's gospel was produced from all the stories that had been passed on by the disciples of what Jesus had said, they know that he is far more than they imagined at the beginning of that journey. Jesus' words about other sheep not of this sheepfold would have made no sense when the disciples were thinking of a Jewish Messiah. The passage about the Good Shepherd is rightly used as one of the readings between Easter and Pentecost. It's maybe even more appropriate post-Pentecost when the word of Jesus goes out beyond the confines of Israel. But it took a long time for the disciples to gather that Jesus was more than they could measure. When Jesus says that he is the good shepherd, we are included in there as those sheep that are of that different sheepfold, and Jesus is willing to lay down his life for us. But of course, if we're going to talk about the good shepherd and us, then we've got to get a right picture of sheep in our heads. Our instinctive picture of sheep may well be coloured by either pictures in children's books or a romanticised idea of sheep as something white and fluffy. Now, I know I have an advantage over many of you here because I grew up in a place where there were more sheep than people. And I have worked for a wool broker, so I know that sheep are not white. We may be able to dismiss the picture of sheep as white and fluffy in a children's book, but we'll still picture them in fields and pasture and being safe. Maybe we get a bit closer if we think of sheep in the wilder and unfenced lands and hills and mountains. But even where we think of the sheep and the shepherd in the terms of the Scottish mountains, we're thinking of the shepherd with his collie having to drive the herd. The picture of the shepherd leading the sheep is a bit more difficult for us. If you've been to the Middle East, if you've seen a shepherd in the Middle East, you'll know that they go ahead of their flock. The sheep know the shepherd, and they know that's the way to safety. Some of us will have witnessed that type of shepherd, but that's the picture that we need to have in our head. We may sometimes be a little bit offended to be described as sheep. The herd, the flock, or the social animal have lots of things in common. And human beings are social animals. And in truth, human beings can be as mindless as a flock of sheep in panic. When the crowd goes one way, we tend to go with the crowd. I like Desmond Tutu's description of sheep. And anyone who has walked the hills will know that sheep can get themselves into trouble. They seem to find all sorts of ways of getting themselves into trouble. So if you're thinking of sheep as cute, white, and fluffy, the reality can be a bit of a shock. Maybe a better picture would be this. And it's one that I have in my head because it was a place where my dad worked. He worked for a firm that also had the Scottish Borders Wool Centre. And you could go into the Borders Wool Centre and learn lots of things about sheep. But maybe the most important thing was they had a pen outside this shop and display, and in that pen they had a Jacob's sheep, a ram. Now, you may not know what a Jacob's sheep looks like. They're kind of mottled and multicoloured. They're quite big, but most importantly, the rams have double horns. So they've got straight horns and they've got curly horns. And if you're thinking white and fluffy, a Jacob's ram is definitely not. Now, this character was not afraid of people because saw lots of people and occasionally decided that they would visit the town. The fence wasn't high enough. And my dad and a number of people, and I find this difficult actually to picture my dad tearing down the high street in Galashiels to try and catch this Jacob's ram. But I can tell you, most people did not get in the way. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Desmond Tutu said, "In most churches where they have images of the good shepherd, they show Jesus carrying a nice fluffy lamb. Now, fluffy little lambs don't stray from their mothers. The sheep that will stray is the most obstreperous, troublesome one. The good shepherd loves and cares for even the most obstreperous and troublesome of sheep." Amen. We sing now from Mission Praise about the love, yes, of the Good Shepherd, the love of Jesus. We sing, "Such love, pure as the whitest snow." George is now going to lead us in our prayers for others.
And now our prayers are for the world and others. Please let us pray. God of heaven and God over all the earth, we marvel that you hear us as we pray, and that you respond according to your good will and purpose. In all things we pray, you will be done, your kingdom come. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in prayer day by day, that we might be ever mindful of the harsh realities being faced by so many today. Heavenly Father, we pray for all around the world who are suffering intolerable conditions due to the many places of conflict in the world, daily fearing for their lives, daily grieving for more loved ones who've died, daily facing the task of finding something to eat, daily enduring the pain physically and mentally due to the lack of proper medical care. We know and witness these conflicts through our television screens. Palestine, Sudan, Ukraine, and many more. God of peace, we would faithfully pray to you to send the Holy Spirit to bring an end to all conflict in our world. We pray for all who are suffering throughout the many parts of the world because of the effect of climate change, as we again witness almost daily on our television screens, where loss of life is caused by unprecedented rainfall, high temperatures and violent storms, causing the death of many due to the destructions of towns and villages by flooding and landslides. We pray that the leaders and decision makers in the world will stop failing to meet their promised targets to reduce and stop the world's climate change. As we have been told by experts, if action is not taken now, the dramatic changes in climate will continue. Lord, again, because of climate change, we would pray for all in our country who are involved in agriculture, who are having to cope with the unprecedented highfall of the past few months. We pray for all who are suffering daily the financial struggles to find money to pay for the basics of living that we take for granted because of the cost of living crisis. We pray that the politicians, both nationally and locally, will find ways to remedy this situation. Caring God, we would pray for all who work tirelessly to provide care for us, the medical professionals, the police, the fire brigade, social work, local authorities and education. We also pray today for all the young people who are about to sit their SQA exams beginning tomorrow and lasting for 5 weeks. Be with them and help them attain the results they require to achieve their goals for their future life careers. Lord, and head of the church, today we pray for the church nationally and locally, regardless of which Christian denomination. We pray for your help in making the correct decisions required in the changes that we in the Church of Scotland face, both nationally and locally, especially in the West 5 cluster, to allow our congregations to grow through our missional activities again. These and all our prayers we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 167. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah.
Thank you.
blessing of God, with the good shepherd ahead, with God all around, with the Spirit to guide. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.